coming up on Thunder Pop.
It is the 110th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast. And what else would we talk about on this October 22nd, 2019, the day after the release of quote unquote the final trailer of The Rise of Skywalker? What else would we be talking about on this day?
Socioeconomics?
Exactly. And so in this episode, we will tackle socioeconomics. And yeah, there's that little film that the trailer and
little indie movie?
That little indie movie. We might give it a few minutes at the end of the show.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, we'll if we run out of time, then we'll have to get it. We'll get it next month sometime. If we can fit it on the calendar.
Oh, good.
Yeah, just that little indie film that I think it doubled the first hour sales of Avengers Endgame.
Dude, that's crazy.
Blew me away. Yeah, and so if for anybody that was maybe questioning whether Star Wars may or may not be dead, holla!
It's alive.
It turned out to be the best comeback story of the year.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
With that box office. But yeah, in this 110th episode, we are going to review the trailer, and it's going to be all dedicated to reviewing the trailer this episode. So in our 110th episode, it's going to be bare bones. We're not going to have any agree or disagree, thoughts or advice. We're just going to spend an hour or so dissecting that damn trailer.
Hell yeah.
The final trailer of Rise of Skywalker.
It's the final countdown.
I want to make exactly. I want them to get Europe for the world premiere of Rise of Skywalker to come and perform out on the street. It's the final countdown. Right after this theme song, we're going to get into it. Yeah, and it is the final countdown to Rise of Skywalker. I think we're how many days out? You guesstimate now?
Less than 2 months.
Less than 2 months. Yeah, it'd be December 19th, a Thursday. Sitting across from me, the one and only Matthew McConaughey, Ryan Reynolds, and the kid from Stranger Things. No, that's. What's his name? The kid with the cap. The kid with the cap. He's one of my favorite Stranger Things characters. Now, they're in the window, but in front of them
is Jazz One, a.k.a. Jazzy One Kenobi.
Back in the Thunder Pop Dome. You got your robe ready for the premiere?
I'm trying to decide, like, am I going to go, like, earth tones or just, like, dark side? It's
Or gray.
I don't look that good in gray.
Oh, okay, so you may not deal with the gray too much this time. So Jazz One can be located at?
At Jazz One on Twitter and Instagram.
All those places.
Yeah. And DJ Jazz One, the numeral one, .com at, yeah. Hang on, djjazz1.com with the numeral one.
And Jazz put some cool stuff up, so it's a good follow, so you can see some of his adventures. Adventures in being jazzy.
In this galaxy.
Not the galaxy far, far away, but the galaxy that's right here.
Exactly.
And I'm Stephen Presley, and this is the 110th episode.
110?
Yes.
Get out.
110. We are 110, and we're getting up there. We should be getting an acknowledgement for Willard Scott for our age. But yeah, we had the trailer last night during Monday Night Football, and thank goodness we had that trailer last night, because that game would have otherwise been not really a very good watch, I think.
That was a horrible game.
Yeah, and I was disappointed because I actually thought, oh, that could be a good game. But no, it was not a good game.
I am sure the Jets were in the locker room watching the trailer.
And that's why.
Because I know they weren't playing football.
That's what happened. I think they ran all the third stringers out because the first team wanted to watch the trailer. So they didn't want to miss it. They were hanging out in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I thought Sam Darnold had mono again. The way he was playing. But it was a perfect, though, actually, as it turns out, night to drop the trailer, because Palpatine is the coach of the New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah?
The Sith Lord Emperor Bill Belichick.
I knew that Swisher had a hoodie for hood on it for a reason.
Exactly. In that case, his apprentice that does his dealings would be Tom Brady, like the Anakin Skywalker.
Exactly.
Good, Anakin, good. Kill him.
I turned to the dark side of the Force when he became a patriot. And then I guess Edelman would be a Knights of Ren.
Oh, yeah.
Knight of Ren. Anyway, yeah, so... that would be the actually, I think if the Super Bowl is your Saints versus those Patriots, I want to go more Marvel with the crossover of comparison. I'll give Drew Brees a Captain America and the Avengers.
I can see that.
And then Thanos is definitely Tom Brady.
He's definitely snapping away a lot of the AFC.
Exactly. And he does have rings, so.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, so he's using that as well. Anyway, yeah, so we got the trailer last night. There had been some speculation and kind of back and forth for about a month of which week it was going to drop. We knew it was going to drop sometime before Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
At the late part of October. And we finally got it last night, and we were ready for it. We did have an announcement, so we wasn't surprised. We had a few days ahead. And, I mean, this is a trailer that had its own trailer. There was a trailer for the trailer.
We live in the future.
I mean, that's how cool is that? So you get excited to watch the trailer for the trailer, and then they get you excited for the trailer. And the trailer is supposed to get you excited for the film. So, yeah, if you're keeping score. But anyway, yeah, we finally got the trailer last night. And, man, there's just so many things going through my head. And, you know, this morning, kind of still processing it. How many times have you watched it?
Probably at least 6, 7 once. No, okay.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't.
6 plus 7 plus 7. 6 times an hour.
Frame by frame.
Since it originally ran, yeah. And it's amazing now how fast the internet immobilizes and has their hot takes.
Oh, yeah.
Their the YouTubers that are doing their live feeds.
The ones that are like finding the Easter eggs. I'm like, within like 10 minutes?
Yeah, there are already guys that have it broken down within 10 minutes. And I'm like, dudes, I need at least the night to let me go through this all. This
I need a cigarette at the end of it. I don't even smoke.
Yeah, before you can even start like going frame by frame on stuff. But these guys have gotten quick now. It used to, I mean, it was at least a couple of days before they'd start popping up with Easter eggs and stuff. But now, I mean, they're getting quick. They had stuff up in 10 minutes. And you're thinking, did they like have a Russian illegal download of that trailer like a few days ago, and had already had that stuff ready? Because they've gotten advanced. The nerds are not messing around this time. I guess they figure it's the last of the Skywalker saga. They're not gonna fuck around.
Oh yeah,
they're ready to go. So this trailer, a lot of thoughts on it. I'll say we did an Instagram live last night ourselves. We didn't have nearly as many takes as some of these other guys did, but, you know, I will say this, and I said this on the trailer, and I said this on the Instagram live last night, and a few other people that chimed in on it. First of all, I enjoyed the trailer and was very excited. My heart was beating fast. There's some parts in it that I'm absolutely just like blown away by. It's not my favorite Star Wars trailer though of all time.
Oh damn!
Now I liked the trailer. I enjoyed it, but I'm not. But here's the catch. I'm not disappointed that it's not my favorite Star Wars trailer of all time. I'm not wah. That trailer wasn't as good as this last trailer. No. With J.J. Abrams and the history of J.J. Abrams and him loving to kind of keep things under wraps as much as possible, That's been his M.O. from going back to his days with Lost, when he was doing the Lost TV show, which I never really watched the show Lost, but I'm very familiar with the fact that they kept a lot of the plot kind of under wraps.
Oh, yeah.
Before shows would come up, before cliffhangers would, you know, season finale or series finale, they always kept that stuff kind of well locked away and under wraps, and everything he's ever done has been, he likes to have the mystery box and he likes to keep things under wraps, and he's really good with that. He's really good with keeping things under wraps, and he's really good with the mystery box. He did it to us in Force Awakens.
Oh yeah.
Because we didn't know, they kept Mark Hamill in a witness protection program for months before that film came out. We knew that there had to be some Luke Skywalker in there somewhere.
Oh yeah.
But we didn't know how they were going to use him and in what capacity. That's J.J. Abrams' mystery box.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he's known for. So I believe if J.J. had his way, we wouldn't even have gotten that trailer last night. We would have gotten a logo pop-up saying, coming to theaters December 19th, Thursday, tickets on sale now, and that would have been it.
Go buy your tickets now.
Yeah. So that would have been it. And I don't think Rian Johnson, who directed the last film, was as much on the mystery box and keeping things under wrap. Although he had to a certain degree, because that's a Star Wars Disney thing to do that.
Yeah. I have to say, was it the director in the Jedi documentary that was with the Last Jedi? That was like a solid piece of work just like by itself.
Just by itself, wasn't it? Yeah, that on itself was an enjoyable watch, wasn't it? Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So I'm not disappointed that it wasn't my favorite trailer, because I think that J.J. Abrams is withholding a lot of stuff. It's kind of like a good analogy in football when a team is trying to hold back their best plays because maybe they've got a tougher part of their schedule coming up. And so against teams that are easier, they might play a vanilla offense.
Oh, yeah.
I think J.J. played a vanilla offense last night with that trailer.
Oh, yeah.
They gave us like they gave us some shots. Beautiful shots. We see the water. We see Rey running in the water. We see the Tomb Raider stuff where she's bouncing around on the blocks. We get beautiful shots. We get some backdrops that we can identify as probably some things that we've seen in the Star Wars, saga before. Yeah. That we're happy to see that they're bringing some of that stuff back, some of the settings. But it wasn't a lot of plot. I mean, there's a lot of misdirection, which they've done on all these three films.
Yeah.
They've done the misdirection in the trailers. They love doing that. But it's a lot of fun to try to figure out what the misdirections are and what they may have really been doing instead of what we saw. But yeah, I'm not disappointed that it wasn't my favorite trailer. My favorite trailer was still the Last Jedi trailer that we got when tickets went on sale for Last Jedi.
Yeah.
For me, that trailer thrilled me more than this trailer, but I was expecting this to be a very vanilla offense.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I think the best stuff's being withheld back. But it gave me enough to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I guess we should just watch that damn thing.
Let's jump into it. I haven't seen it in like an hour.
Yeah, at least.
Instinct.
So you see the helmet dropped?
Yeah, like what helmet does that look like to you?
There's been some different, I've heard at least two different theories on it, that the helmet is resembled the helmet that Leia wore on the speeder bikes in Endor.
Oh yeah.
In Return of the Jedi. Luke and Leia probably wore those helmets on the speeder bike chase in Return of the Jedi, which is a very memorable scene. It looks like she could be on Endor. So one of the things that I've seen already dropped as an idea is that Rhea is doing some more training.
Yeah.
Obviously, it'd probably be the earlier part of the film, because hopefully she's not still training in the last 5 minutes of the film. That would be kind of like cramming for the exam.
We've all done it.
We've all done it. But I think early in the film, she may still be doing some training. And what if Leia is training her on Endor?
I could see that.
And Leia is the one that dropped that helmet there for some reason, some kind of drill. She dropped the helmet while she's up, like floating in the trees or something.
Could be.
Could be. But that's one speculation already, is that either Force Ghost Luke or Leia could be training finishing her training on Endor. Could be an interesting idea. And that helmet might be the helmet. Now, the other theory that I've read on the helmet is that Rey idolized Rebel pilots. She had the little model, I believe, back in Force Awakens, and the little doll. And she had a helmet, I think, already.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to Force Awakens. So that could be taking from that, that she had that, you know, she had that helmet as a kind of a keepsake.
Man, that cut right there is so beautiful, where she's jumping across that chasm.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's a beautiful edit right there.
She's really ripped for this film. I think she was, in the first film, she was slender.
Yeah.
The second film, I thought she got a little bit, not doughy, but I mean, she was a little bit, you know, her face was a little more filled out.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, she's just like, this chick's been doing some CrossFit like a motherfucker.
And she's doing Jedi fit, bro.
Jedi fit, yeah. Hey, I want to get a membership at that gym. Where's that gym at?
Endor.
The Force brought us together. We're not alone.
So the lightsaber and the running with the lightsaber is cool, but it's one of the most divisive things on the internet right now. Some people are saying that's a very JJ thing to do, is that they say he's really big on style, and to have them running with the lightsaber is not necessarily a necessity. So I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, they can kiss my ass.
This is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a meeting of the rebels. And like, you can definitely see Lando like right in the middle of it.
Lando right in the middle of it. Probably, you know, at some point we get a quick shot of Lando maybe telling some old war stories of his past. I could even see it kind of funny. He might even get into a card game maybe when there's some off time and take someone's laundry.
I wonder if he ever published his memoirs.
Good question. Lando or Billy D?
Both.
Oh, both. But yeah, there's definitely Lando there, back in the Resistance, fighting the good fight. Also, it was spotted what looked like, right here, Ackbar. But people think could be Admiral Ackbar's son.
His little guppy?
I think that's what it would be, right?
Yeah.
something along those lines. So a lot of people think that maybe he's fighting the good fight for his dad, wanting to kind of finish what his dad started. Oh, we've heard that one before. Finish it off for him.
He's also a trap rapper.
It's a trap rapper. What does your son do? He's a trap rapper. What's your son do? He's a trap rapper. But now he's fighting for the Resistance.
Like the Space Migos.
He's going to help out, entertain everyone with some trap when he's got some downtime. But I don't know. What do you think? You buy into that, Ackbar's son?
Man, it's like, what was it? The Calamari, what is that, their race or whatever?
Something like, yeah.
Not that sea race, but the fish peoples? Okay, something. I don't know if that's the right terminology.
Hey, don't be a seist.
A speciesist.
Speciesist.
But yeah, like, I'm sure there's a lot of whatever we call those people.
There's a, yeah, so it doesn't necessarily, it could have been just some, could have been someone he knew, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's his son.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's a good starting point for a theory, but yeah. But it's cool, we're going to get another someone from that species,
yes,
to represent, that's going to be coming in and being a part of the Resistance fight. And then, yeah, here we, you know, the Resistance is back kind of filled up again. They've found some more, you know, people to fight the good fight.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, but Lando there, and this is probably a planning session. This Poe Dameron, I think. possibly, maybe he's the kind of the general at this point.
Oh, yeah.
He could be a general-ish.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like he's kind of maybe overseeing the... That's, for me, that looks like Poe Dameron. I could be wrong there, but from this distance. C-3PO right there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I'm making out right now. Some of these nerds are better at this stuff than me. They probably have got everybody's name and which actor that was playing this, the stand-in or the extra.
Good people will fight if we lead them.
I think Endor there, too.
I think so. Either that or it was Yavin.
Yeah. So, is this Star Wars doing Waterworld? Are we going to have... Is this water going to be kind of a big part of some of the major action in the film?
I don't know, but I have to just say it's beautiful. Like, the way it moves and just what it adds to, like, every scene. I'm not sure if it's going to be, you know, borrow anything from Waterworld, but, man, just every shot I see the water in, it looks amazing.
So, I heard years ago one of the hardest things that used to be to film was filming on the water.
Yeah.
And is why the movie Titanic was so expensive to produce. It made its money back, but it was very expensive to produce. The movie Waterworld, I mean, it had a lot of trouble in production because of the fact that they were filming on water, and it was all practical.
Oh, yeah.
So I know in the new trilogy, they've tried to do practical as much as they possibly can to avoid kind of the green screen shortcomings of the prequels. Not looking too cartoonish.
Well, it's like, to me, the green screen in the prequels was just not ready for prime time. Like, looking back at it. I mean, it's like green screen now is done a lot better.
And, yeah.
You know, but yeah, it just like, I know they were kind of ahead of the game with the prequels, but maybe they should have held off.
Yeah, because now you look at movies like The Avengers.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of, we see the behind the scenes steals and video from those films, and quite a bit of green screen being used in those films.
I mean, I think we could do better green screen with our phones than what they were doing in the 90s with the prequels.
Back then with the prequels, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
People keep telling me they know me. No one does.
But I do.
That is such an amazing shot.
Yeah, that and the shot before when we see Kylo Ren come out.
Yeah,
the first time.
Like that hero shot, I guess anti-hero shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was just amazing.
For me, one of the things that was one of the coolest discoveries in Last Jedi that we discovered was that on-screen, I thought was a really good on-screen presence, chemistry, rather,
yeah,
between Daisy Ridley and the characters and the actors themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That play Kylo Ren and Daisy Ridley.
Well, when they were force timing, they actually flew the other person there to be like in front of them. I mean, they could have just,
wow,
you know, mm-hmm, had somebody reading the lines.
Yeah.
But yeah, they flew Ridley, you know, I guess to England, wherever they were shooting.
Yeah.
That kind of blew my mind. Like, that's small detail, but I guess, like, the energy you could, like, really tell.
It makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah. It really was worth their time and effort to do that. So, I liked what they did with the two of them in the last film. I wasn't particularly a big fan of the shirtless Kylo Ren. I don't know what the point there was, but, and it got a lot of memes and made fun of, but it didn't ruin the on-screen, you know, chemistry of the two characters
for
me.
Oh, yeah. So the scene right here looks like the iceberg. Is that just floating in air, or is that, because you don't see like reflection of the water?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's going on there? That's a good question. Is it some sort of are they under it and not over it?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Are they in some kind of ice like capsule? I don't know, and that maybe that's why but there's not a reflection there. Another possibility, this is kind of a wild scenario, but I mean, they're still finishing up the film. Was this a rough cut, and did they not just have that added in yet with the shadows or the reflection? And that may be as simple as that. And we're going to get to another screen here in a minute where we're going to see the Emperor's throne.
Oh, yeah.
And in the Emperor's throne, we see an Emperor's throne, but we don't see an Emperor. So, did you know when they released the trailers for Avengers Endgame, they had actually CGI'd out Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark? out of some of the shots in the trailer. Because they were trying to avoid giving away some spoilers within the trailer, but yet they wanted to still be able to give some people some stuff from the movie.
Yeah.
So they actually took him out of some of the scenes that he was in the trailer. So it makes you wonder, would they dare take out the Emperor from that shot for the very same reason? They're not wanting to show us the Emperor yet. Which makes sense, because that's another mystery box thing.
Yeah.
Is it the Emperor as we remember him? Is it the Emperor? Has he like leaped into somebody else's body, and it's the soul of the Emperor and someone else?
I have a theory, but it'll be a later shot.
Okay.
Long have I waited.
There it is. And that was actually the version of the Emperor's throne that they had, the art that was created for the Emperor's throne that they never used in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, damn.
So it's being now used finally in this film. So there, you wonder, was the Emperor there? Was he actually taken out so they wouldn't give it away?
And now, you're coming together.
That looks like in the first act of the film, kind of early on, that they maybe are going off on their mission together.
When they thing that really surprised me about that scene where that shot where you can see like all the rebel spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, I'm pretty sure you see the ghost from Rebels.
Yes, yes. In fact, there's already become one of the jokes and memes on the internet is that Disney asked JJ which ships do you want. He said yes, meaning all of them. Bring them all back. So apparently there are some Easter eggs in that scene where yeah the ghost ship, and then there's a ship from the prequels. There's like it's like a the greatest hits of some of the different ships that have been in some of the different movies are in that shot.
Oh yeah.
So did the Resistance go and like round up a bunch of junk ships? Because they're trying to kind of, like, you know, do a kind of a hand-me-down version of a fleet of ships. And
What was the Twi'lek and Rebel Syndulla or something?
Mm-hmm.
Her and, was it Kanan's son, Jason?
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder if, like, he's got that ship, or, man, maybe even we got Ahsoka. You know, it's like, man, I feel like they told us so much with this, but mm-hmm. man, what they haven't told us, like right now, my mind's blown with this trailer. But
yeah.
Like, what they're not telling us, like, holy shit, there's gotta be some crazy stuff.
What's cool about this trailer is it doesn't give you, a lot on the plot. I mean, it doesn't give you, there's misdirection there. There's a little bit of nuggets, but not too much on the plot. So there's a lot of different ways it could still go. That you could still speculate and that it could still possibly go. But there's a few things in there, really good things for people that are like really hardcore fans that follow the expanded universe that know about the ghost ship.
Oh, yeah.
And things, little nuggets in there like that. That's really special to the fans.
Is your undoing.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
It's Rory Bliss.
Taking one last look, sir, at my friends.
Right in the fills. I'm going to need a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when we sat down in 2014 and did our first show together.
Yeah.
Which would have been my second show and third show.
Wow.
And we sat down with the Evil Flying Chickens.
Yeah.
So we broke down Force Awakens trailer or trailers.
Wow.
And I remember your lead singer.
Yeah, Jason.
Jason.
Yeah.
From the Evil Flying Chickens. I think something came up about 3PO and he's like, oh, he's just not my thing, you know?
Yeah.
And is C-3PO going to win over some people that maybe weren't C-3PO people?
Might be.
In this film? Is C-3PO, if episode 7 was Han Solo's film, and the last film was Luke Skywalker's film, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Is this C-3PO's film? His chance to shine and be the hero?
Man, I don't know. But earlier when you referenced the Marvel movies and the Avengers.
Yeah.
man, like how satisfying an end game was.
Yeah.
Like, man, when I saw that, I'm like, if they can kill it this much with Marvel, what they're going to do with Star Wars is going to blow that out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really think this is going to be amazing.
Do you think that they feel compelled to follow Endgame with something bigger and better, and they're actually trying to do that? I mean, that's actually in their minds.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Like, this is bigger and better than Endgame.
Like, do you think there's even a little bit of competitiveness there with J.J. Abrams and the people at Lucasfilm Disney? Even though they're both under the Disney umbrella, they're still different departments.
I mean, I'd say they've already got a touchdown on the scoreboard with the tickets sold already.
They got scoreboard on the ticket sales, didn't they? Yeah. Like, right now, they've got that.
Confronting fear is the destiny of...
I want to back up on that scene where they're running down the hallway with the gunfight with the stormtroopers. Stormtroopers, still not good aims. After 9 films, they still haven't figured that out.
Exactly.
They're still not the best aims, are they?
Well, those are First Order.
The First Order stormtroopers, yeah. Do you think at some point they should have made their way out to the gun range, maybe gone to Reds and tried to work on their target practice?
Or use more like laser shotguns.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi.
I love that line.
Your destiny.
Whoa, back it up.
I think I know what you're talking about already.
Man, they own space horses. Looks like they're on a, we call them the big ships.
Yeah, they're riding horses on one of the big ships.
Yeah.
Like a Star Destroyer type.
Yeah, yeah, brain fart.
Star Destroyer type ship of some sort. And we do see a Star Destroyer at some point coming up from under something. Are those the horses? Were those horses rescued from that planet, casino planet?
No, those had more the horses with people faces.
Okay.
I would say, these aren't the same.
Okay, so a little bit different... A little bit different style.
Yeah.
So BB-8 rolling next to the horses.
Hell yeah.
And you wonder, because BB-8's been kind of absent in this trailer, but you do see him finally pop up there for a second, rolling next to the horses and keeping pace with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa. Go back.
Yeah, that's a pretty important shot there. Right there?
Yeah, go.
Or even a little bit further back.
No, keep going. Fort, yeah. Oh. Right there.
Yep.
Like.
What is going on there? So this is the scene where we've got Darth Maul and Rey.
No, not Maul.
Oh, sorry. We got Kylo. This is the scene where we got Kylo Ren and Rey, and something's knocked over. And this is not the vase on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. I mean, it's like crazy. Like, everything's like super pristine, like white. Look at the buildings out the window over there. I'm kind of wondering where that is.
It looks a lot like Bespin, Cloud City to me.
Well, here's the thing. Is that, is that Vader's helmet? Was that like on some kind of stand or
a lot of people are thinking Vader's helmet on some sort of stand, kind of like a, you know, displayed
and or maybe previous Darth, you know, like Bane or something.
Yeah, something along those lines. So I mean, it does look Darth Vader-ish.
And like, are they fighting or are they destroying it together, you know?
Well, and the other thing too is Rey is not holding a lightsaber. She's got a different type of weapon.
Oh, yeah. No. She does have the lightsaber.
Oh, she does have the lightsaber.
But she has a dagger. And, like, I'm wondering if that dagger is from Clone Wars, the Mortis arc.
Right. That's so she's got the dagger in one hand, the lightsaber in the other hand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's Kylo Ren, Were they both trying to take a swipe at each other, and did they accidentally destroy that in the process?
Yeah, I can't tell if it's intentional or they're facing off, you know.
Or is this another just a force image in race training?
Could be.
And then that would be the misdirection again. So, but it looks a lot like a cloud. It's very clean.
It's very clean.
They're doing their best to make it less clean.
I mean, compared to a lot of the other stuff we've seen in the trailers, you know, everything else looks lived in. Mm-hmm. No old, been there, grown over. Yeah, this looks very pristine.
You know, the late 80s, mid 80s, when Highland Mall, which is now in here in Austin, which is now ACC, it's Austin Community College campus.
You go to the anthropology store?
Yeah, back in the day. But that mall, when it was in its heyday, which would have been the mid-80s, they had a department store. I think they were called Foley's.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a big deal back in the 80s. And they had in their young men's area section, kind of close to the shoe department and the young men's section, they had a section that was like the science fiction. It was like an install that looked a lot like this backdrop of basically a Star Wars-ish kind of little space center. And it was just randomly in the middle of the department store. That you could go there as like a lounge, and they had chairs and couches that you could just go sit there, and whoever you're waiting on, if someone you know is trying on clothes or if your mom's shopping, and you could go just sit in this little install that was very Star Wars-ish. It wasn't officially called Star Wars something, but it had a very Star Wars look to it, and it was just a random install in the middle of the store. It was there for a while, like a good, you know, 3-4 years. And I was like, man, how cool. Looking back on that, like, how cool is that?
Oh, absolutely.
And it was a pretty good job. I mean, it was not as big budget as this, but it was pretty impressive for
an
80s department store to have this space station in the middle of the store. But thinking about it, they missed it by like 38 years for Instagram.
Only 38 years.
Yeah, for all the Instagram photo ops at this place that people would have had if they'd still had it. So right there with Kylo Ren.
No.
Even before that?
No, go back forward. Let it play.
Okay.
Okay. That's...
Yes.
That's Palpy laughing.
That's Palpy. And this is probably... I see a hood.
Is that Palpatine?
Or is it Bill Belichick?
Ooh.
No, but seriously, it's a hood.
With all the tubes and stuff. Like.
So he's kind of rigged up right now, sort of gotten some mechanical enhancements.
Yeah, like mech type stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, who's the master of that? This is the guy that built Darth Vader. He built all these other, like, pre-Darth Vader villains that he had, you know, the General Grievous. That was his mastermind. Darth Vader was his mastermind.
Oh, well, it's like I thought when I first saw this, I thought it was Kylo. But it just, I don't know, something about the hood. And I don't know, it just struck me like, I may be wrong, but that might be Palpatine.
I mean, it could be the best misdirection ever. JJ really got us this time. But it looks like he's in some sort of high-tech... galaxy far, far away, special wheelchair of some
mech
kind.
Suit. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got, I mean, who would do that other than Palpatine? He's got, he's forever, that's been his game, is to kind of rig it up when you need to, when the motor is not running, put in a new motor.
Oh, absolutely.
And make it and build it even better and more evil.
More evil.
More evil.
The Force will be with you. Always.
Emotions. I'm feeling stuff.
Yeah, they got us in the feels on this because they get you on the feels with the 3PO. They get you on the feels with the ending. With they have to have a good cap off on all these trailers.
Man, every time I see, like, I can go watch original trilogy. You know, any movies with Carrie in it, and just like every time she's on screen, man, it's just like. You feel that shit, man. It's like, I know eventually we're going to lose the rest of them, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, But it sucks having lost Carrie already.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And we really wish she had been around to do the last film. I mean, to be present.
Oh, yeah.
And she's there. I mean, she's there in spirit. You know, when they were filming this film, it must have been very emotional for them, too, to start production and not have her, you know, there physically present.
Oh, yeah.
They had Billie Lord, her daughter, who's going to get a bigger part in this film as Lieutenant Connick.
Yeah.
So we do see her briefly in the trailer. We see her in the background in one of the shots, and she is with the guy from Lord of the Rings that's going to be in this film.
Oh, shit.
That the actor, and he's been in a lot of stuff. Anyway, they're together along with the scene where Rose pops up.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in the background.
I mean, I know we're kind of stopping and starting, but man, just like the lines that were said by Finn, you know, it, I don't know, man, it just was damn near poetry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like hearing, you know, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man, I'm fired up. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Breaking news up in this place.
I'm going to read a couple of things off the interweb. Some stuff that's come up since this trailer dropped. This was on Den of Geek. Den of Geek, of course, having their own theories. Throughout, a voiceover from Poe Dameron and Finn lays out some thoughts about the Force. It's an instinct, a feeling. The Force brought us together. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them. Poe isn't Force-sensitive himself, but he does know the loyal friendship is one of the traits that gives strength to the good guys. That's one of the things I'm really excited about with this film that I missed in Last Jedi that I really enjoyed in Force Awakens was more screen time between Poe Dameron and Finn.
Oh, yeah.
I liked their chemistry together in the first film and how they played off of each other. I thought it was like a really cool buddy cop scenario with the two of them. And
even for the people who kind of ship those two.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited that they're going to be kind of united, brought back together in this film. And then I'm excited for more Raylo.
Oh, yeah.
The Raylo situation. Do you think the Raylo, and I think, you know, and Johnny brought this up, and he'll probably mention it again when we have him on here in a little bit. But Johnny thinks that right away, he says, it looks like we're going to get the redemption of Kylo in this film. And if you look at some of the shots, especially one of the last shots there in the trailer where you see that Kylo is off to go do something,
yeah,
take something on or take someone out or whatever, it looks a little bit like more like Kylo about to do some good.
Oh yeah, Bendemption.
The Bendemption. So I think there is going to be a Bendemption in this film. I could see him maybe taking a bullet though for the team also and maybe not making it at the end of the film. Maybe he saves Rey. I could see it, you know, kind of a tragic, you know, first he...
Where does that sound familiar from?
Sounds a little bit familiar. But yeah, that could happen. And a lot of people will say, oh, that's Return of the Jedi again.
Yeah.
That will happen. They'll have to do a little... They will have to put a little bit different twist on it. I would assume they will. There's been a lot of rumors on this film that they are doing a lot of reshoots, and there's also been a lot of talk, and not just rumors. I mean, there's a lot of production going on still over at J.J. Abrams' production headquarters. He's doing a lot of it right now at his own place rather than over at the Lucasfilm studios. So Bad Robot Studios, there's been lot of like streets blocked off. There's a lot of don't park here for the next several days. There's still a lot of work or production being done here, like signs that have been up. There's a lot of trucks being brought in with a lot of stuff. I assume from the trailer, a lot of water and ice probably being brought in on those trucks. The local ice company is making a killing.
Oh yeah,
that's obvious. They're making money. Other than Disney, they're the one that's making probably the most money is the local ice guys, ice sculpture guys. But yeah, so there's a lot of reshoots going on from what I understand. One rumor was that it was actually 75% of the film was being reshot, which is a lot. Reshoots nowadays are very common.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Avengers, all the Marvel movies, there was a lot of that happens. So some people were calling gloom and doom because of that. and saying that it's going to be hard to piece it all together in time for to make a fully streamlined piece of film. The dirtiest rumor, though, and this is really the one that is the dirtiest rumor of them all, is that there was so much to fit in that there's still a chance they would dare split this up into two films.
No. My heart can't take it.
Would you have to be restrained at the movie theater if this happened? Would they have to call someone to restrain you?
Yes.
Do you believe that, or do you think that's just some Reddit guys trying to troll the internet?
Man, I think with there's too many people like talking Star Wars, and it's just like, and it's people who are monetizing it, so it's like they make mountains out of like small stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's like we could probably name some names.
Oh yeah,
but I don't know, man. It's just like there's a handful I kind of trust, like the Collider guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like those guys are solid.
And, yeah,
you know. But yeah, there's so many out there that just will take a wild idea and just kind of run with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's some of them that now there's the people are starting to kind of figure them out. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, the cream rises to the top.
Like, wait a minute. Almost everything you told us in the last two films turned out to be untrue.
Well, that smells stink-a-whiff.
Just about everything. Maybe one thing turned out right. You throw enough things up in the air. And so, like, you start to wonder, like, does that really hurt their respectability on the internet? They throw too much. I mean, for a while, it kind of works. It gets you the hits. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I do believe that they do a lot of reshoots because they're wanting to get things really tight and right for this film.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's kind of become the new norm in big box office productions nowadays. Is that they do a lot of reshoots and they try to because they do the people that get to screen it and give their feedback. They shoot multiple endings.
Man, it's like I know Star Wars is just a movie, but man, there's something about it that feels bigger. Man, it's like almost every time we get a movie, another Star Wars movie, it feels like getting another book of the Bible or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's just something greater and grander, you know, about Star Wars. You know, so I have a lot of friends or actors, I'm sure you can relate. You know, it's like most of the time when I'm watching TV or movies, I see people at work, you know, kind of knowing how the meatloaf is made with actors. I just see people paying their bills, you know. Man, something about Star Wars, as soon as I hear the horns and see, you know, the logo on the screen, man, I am certain that is happening in a galaxy far, far away, you know.
You're on board, you're sold.
Yeah, it's like, man, the suspension of disbelief with other stuff, man, like I said, I know how the meatloaf's made, but man, just something about Star Wars just hits that nerve. I'm like, nope. This is real.
I got one more thing to throw at you. We talked about the Emperor a little bit and kind of what they may be going with that. 3PO, what do you think the angle is there? Do you think he's being wiped, his memory's being wiped for some reason? They need to, of course, he was designed by Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker. But he does not have a memory of that because his memory was wiped after Revenge of the Sith. So he started a clean slate after Revenge of the Sith. Do you think somehow in order to, they needed to access something that was pre-New Hope in his memory?
Yeah, I do, but I believe by the end of the movie, we will have C-3PO back. I just think they may download like an earlier version of 3PO. Like,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, amnesia after Jedi, you know, Return of the Jedi or something. You know, just maybe somehow like R2 has like a, you know, a thumb drive that has C-3PO.
It's like kind
of
like
earlier version of C-3PO. It's like just my guess, though.
It's kind of like a computer. If you've deleted something, and you're like, oh, goddamn, I need to get that file back.
Yeah, start him up in safe mode.
Yeah, that's kind of the version of that with the droids. They have to get him to try to see if it's still there.
Yeah.
Somewhere backlogged. So they have to call in Mr. Robot or something. The Geek Squad of Star Wars is called in to kind of try to see if they can find that on there. Guy shows up. He says, yeah, that'll be $800 to get that back. We can try to find it. And that's where I think we'll see the red eyes. is when they're trying to access whatever.
Yeah, or like when they're rebooting him, you know.
Yeah. Are we going to get the Lando's old friend that was installed into the Millennium Falcon?
Oh, man, she was sexy for a robot. Like, I'm not robosexual, but yeah. Damn. She had some nice hips.
His old, sweet, sexy friend.
Was it L3?
L3. I think we may get a little hint of L3 at least. Something. Lando's going to maybe, if you see him kind of caressing the Millennium Falcon and kind of whispering its sweet nothings.
Yeah. Man, one thing that caught me was in the scene where C-3PO was talking about, you know, wanting to look at his friends one more time.
Yeah.
I noticed Zori Bliss was in that scene.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was like, I'm not sure what her, you know, role is. I mean, it has been like spoken a lot of, but
yeah.
It seems like it's important.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I think there's going to be some significance to that. Yeah.
It's like, I went to Target, and forgot what I was looking for at Target, but yeah. Wound up taking Star Wars stuff home with me. But I picked up a poster from the new film, and
yeah.
Like, she's on there. And it just seems like there's, you know, probably the more important, you know, characters are
yeah.
on this poster. So it's like, I'm wondering, like, what kind of role, you know, who she...
For her to get a spot in the poster, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even give Benicio del Toro a spot on the poster in the last film.
Oh, yeah.
But she's getting a spot on the poster. That has to mean something. Yeah, and that's one we don't see her in the trailer, except for that one spot. Again, it makes me think that's something that they're withholding because it's too much information.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that they don't want out because it's going to give a little way. Once you get that, then you get something else out of it, and you can kind of piece some other things together.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go straight to our Star Wars insider, Johnny Lightfoot, via Skype.
I just met you, and this is crazy, but I'm your father. Join me, baby.
Who is also very excited and watched the trailer last night. It's a nice little beat, Skype. Skype's got all the beats. Going to Skype, your friend.
Add some hi-hats to that, have a trap song.
That's nice. We were Johnny. We were just enjoying the tunes of Skype.
Oh, nice!
They have a nice little instrumental intro there for you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Johnny, what's up, cat?
Hey, what up, Jez?
It's good to be here. Good to hear you, man.
It's always great. Always great to hear from you. Always great to hear from you. So, Johnny, how many times have you watched this trailer in the last 24 hours?
Actually not as many as I thought I would. Probably like, I don't know, six.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. I think you're trying to pace yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Most of it was literally just to go back and see if I missed anything. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And I mean, we just watched the trailer and there were things that I just caught. I didn't see BB-8 rolling next to the space horses, as everyone's calling them. There in the trailer, because at first I was like, oh, we didn't get any BB-8 there, but we did get a little bit of BB-8.
Star Stallions,
I like it. Yeah, so we see that quick, brief BB-8 running against, keeping pace with the Star Stallions. As you've seen it, I know we got on Instagram Live last night, and you had some things you already had thrown out. What would you like to speak on that's right on the top of your head?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think they're, you know, keeping the Matt Smith stuff in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it was really interesting because I had completely forgotten, but the throne we see in the trailer is actually an old Ralph McQuarrie throne that he did way back in the day. And yeah, I mean, it's really wondering, is it a resurrected emperor? Did he not die? Is he being kept alive by something? Or is he, you know, has his spirit taken over the body of a younger person?
Yeah, and that's where the Matt Smith theory, you'd said that Matt Smith, to give everyone some context to that, you had said that Matt Smith is in this film.
Yeah. But, and he's been ducking and diving for a long time when basically it's known he's in it. And all the other actors, like, you know, Dominic Monaghan, they've all come out and said, yeah, I'm in it. And then now we're seeing a lot of those characters. He's been the one who's been like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing anything. So I found that really interesting. One of the things we didn't talk about at all on Instagram was, so that really heartfelt moment with C-3PO.
Yeah.
And
gets you in the feels.
And we got that previous shot in another trailer where he had the red eyes, where everybody was like, what's going on with C-3PO?
Yeah, is it Sith-3PO or what's going on?
Oh,
so in the Dr. Aphra comics, her protocol droid has the red eyes, and it's because he's basically had all of his programming that in those inhibitors and stuff have been taking out to put him in sort of like a berserker mode.
000, right?
Yeah, 000. And so I'm thinking basically that's his last time, because that little creature is working on the back of his head. That might be the last time we see him as we know him, because they just need an extra person in the fight.
Interesting. So it could be what it is.
Yeah, and there's also a Disney store exclusive like little figurine that's in like a big pack, and it's C-3PO with Chewbacca's bandolier and bowcaster.
Yeah, that's been passed around some, so we could see a different side to 3PO that we've never seen before.
I still think they're going to reboot him in safe mode and use like a thumb drive and reinstall C-3PO, like maybe Return of the Jedi C-3PO, who will be non the wiser of everything that happened afterwards.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
It could be. It could be possible.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm really stoked. The visuals look cool. We got a brief image of what looked like the Ghost, the ship from Rebels.
Yes.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier too.
Yes, and that, do you think that's going to be the greatest hits? It looks like there could be a plethora of some ships in that one shot. It's almost like the Resistance went and gathered up whatever they could find.
Oh, yeah. And I think it was one of the things, and I can't think of his name, but the actor who plays Wedge, and everybody was kind of upset the Mexican poster came out and he was on it, because it was a really big deal that nobody knew that he was going to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about Wedge Antilles, who they tried to get to come back for the Force Awakens, and they couldn't recruit him to come back and do it. He just was just not having it, just was not interested in doing it again. And then they've somehow, the price was right, whatever it took, they got him back for this one.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we're going to have all of the who's who, because this is, you know, going to be the final act. And I just really hope the apparent Kylo Ren redemption is done well, mm-hmm. because that's the way it looks like they're heading.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag Bendemption.
The Bendemption.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, with him killing Han, that's completely different than slaughtering a bunch of kids, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What's the ratio on that?
Yeah. What is the ratio?
Yeah,
one, I mean, Han versus how many younglings?
Yeah, give me one Han versus, you know, at least 10 classes of youngling.
Yeah, it's kind of in that, yeah. And it's his dad, so, yeah, that's at best a Jerry Springer episode, that Family Feud. Do you think that, we speculated about this, because I know with Avengers Endgame, they, in some trailers, actually took out Tony Stark out of some of the shots in the trailers and then put it back in for the actual movie, because they were afraid of giving some stuff away that would have been spoilers. Do you think there's a chance that they would have taken the Emperor out of that shot with the throne? And then just,
I mean,
only to put him back
possible.
Later?
I've also, you know, heard people, you know, throw random speculation that some of the stuff with Rey has been CG'd, that she's going to lose a hand somewhere. I mean, wow. There's all kinds of stuff thrown out there.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily subscribe to the whole hand thing, because, I mean, that's been done way too many times.
Someone's losing a hand.
Somebody's got to lose a limb, yeah.
At some point, we can't get through a whole trilogy without at least one limb by somebody being lost. I think it's going to be Poe Dameron gets his nose cut off and has to wear a prosthetic nose through half the film.
I mean, maybe Finn does it.
Maybe he loses the hand.
Well, I was going to say, he makes Poe lose something so he'll get off his girl.
Oh.
You had mentioned last night on Instagram you saw a possible love triangle between Poe, Finn, and Rey. You still subscribe to that?
Well, yeah, because from the jump, ever since they decided that Poe wasn't going to die in that first sequence in Force Awakens, it was written into the story that there was going to be something between Poe and Rey, and there was a scene at the end of the Force Awakens novel where they meet, and it's kind of like a sparks fly type of deal, and they didn't put it in the movie.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Last Jedi, it was like Rian Johnson took that scene that was in the Force Awakens novel and put it in Last Jedi. So while Finn's over there with Rose, they're kind of like, oh yeah, I'm so-and-so. And you look at them meeting versus when Finn and Rey meet, and obviously Rey's a little, despite the circumstances, kind of smitten with Poe. As much as I would have liked them to keep it separate, it does seem like they might be leaning towards Finn possibly being force sensitive. Not necessarily like a force user, but possibly force sensitive with that dialogue he was saying in the beginning of the trailer, talking about the force bringing them together and things like that.
Yeah, and that could have been something they were angling towards as far back as Force Awakens, because he was wielding the lightsaber in Force Awakens a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, that was something that, you know, as a kid, like with the OG trilogy, it was one of the things that they kind of got away from a little bit with the prequels and a little bit here was like back then, like you couldn't even imagine yourself being able to hold a lightsaber. Like it was something that was like, oh, only a Jedi can do this.
Right.
And like Han Solo is kind of the one off. And he looked like he was struggling a little bit to open up that Tauntaun. So it was kind of one of those things where like only somebody of at least some, you know, power can wield this sort of weapon. But then it kind of got carried away with the prequels. And and so you don't really know now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Is that one shot we see the hood at the corner of the screen looks like it could be either the Palpatine, or if it's Palpatine in somebody else that's using somebody else's body. But there also looks like some kind of wheelchair sort of thing.
Yeah.
Life support type stuff.
There's some audio in the background you can kind of hear that sounds very similar to some sort of like breathing apparatus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Do you think there's a chance he was using Snoke? The Palpatine might have been using Snoke as just sort of an avatar all along?
I think so, because like I said, all it takes is somebody who's leaning dark side to go to a place where a very powerful dark side user died. And as long as that spirit's there, they can essentially do like a, you know, they can possess that physical being.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like I said last night, the visuals look great. It looks like we're going to get one of the biggest battles, hopefully mostly in space, that we've ever seen. Interested to see how much of that we get. And I mean, I'm just hoping for, you know, a nice send-off resolution. Because, the last thing Star Wars fans need especially with all the positive buzz of Mandalorian, is having a 50-50 split with this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to be, it would be nice for it to be at least 75 in favor. There's been, you know, a lot of talk about reshoots. And of course, that's nowadays, it's sort of a must with any big budget film, is a lot of reshoots. But I've heard stories of focus groups that are called in to look at variety, like different multiple possible endings, to give their feedback on it. Would you ever want, and I'll ask you and Jazz both this question, would you guys ever want to be one of those people that would be called in for a secret focus group to look at footage from a Star Wars film? Would you want that job, or would it just totally ruin the movie going experience for you? Even with the opportunity to be a Lucasfilm insider, to have to see something months before everyone else, would you ever want to have that responsibility and that sort of that honor at the same time of being able to have an input in the film?
I'd have to go with like what Kevin Smith, like when they invite him out and it's like, you don't want to know the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, as much as I love this, like, I'm waiting till like December 19th. Like, yeah. I want to experience it all, let it all hit me at the same time.
So you're in that Kevin Smith kind of category where you're like, okay, I'll trust you. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I got to lean the same way. I mean, that's not even just like the responsibility of that, but really just, I don't want to see what the possible endings could have been. I want to see the finished product. I've been to a few like early screenings before the movie is complete. And I mean, a movie can be fantastic, but just little things that aren't finished yet, you know, it can hamper the experience. And the last thing I would want to do is to contribute to the possibility that, like, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I loved a little sketch that I saw today where it was somebody pretending to be George Lucas reacting to the trailer.
Nice.
And one of the things that fake George said was that he's just glad he's not responsible for it, so it can't be his fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet it's one of the things he's really enjoyed the most since 2012.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Who doesn't make it out of this movie? Who dies?
Yeah, because Johnny's pretty good at calling that. Is it too soon to ask you that question, or do you got something?
Yeah, I definitely think 3PO's toast.
Yeah.
Ben Solo's toast.
Yeah, I agree on the Ben Solo.
New Emperor in whatever capacity he is, whether it's, like I said, whether it's him inhabiting a different body, or whether it's the Emperor as we know him being kept alive by some machine or something, I think he's toast.
And this time they better double check, because they didn't go back down in that that pit to make sure that he was really gone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Lando's not going anywhere.
Yeah, too many original trilogy characters that were already offed for them to do the same with Lando, I think.
And I don't think you can let Carrie go. I don't think you can let Leia go. Maybe you write it somewhere to where she's going to go build New Alderaan or something. I don't know.
Or go off into the sunset in some capacity.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some tribute to her in this film in some way or some fashion, isn't there?
Oh, there's got to be. I mean, every time that shot of Leia and Rey hugging, whether it was the previous trailer or this one,
yeah,
comes up on screen, it's got all the feels.
Hits me right in the feels.
It's
and like yeah. We were saying yesterday, I mean, this just happening to coincide with what would have been her birthday.
Yeah, yesterday.
It was something else.
And she was given top billing on the credits yesterday. On her birthday.
I mean, C-3PO, Ben Solo, Emperor. Gosh, one of the other. I don't think any of the big three go. I think you're keeping Poe, Finn, and Rey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are it right now. Because, I don't think Chewie, but 3PO I could definitely see going. R2, I don't know, because they haven't really used him that much.
No, very little.
Seven or eight. 7, he was hardly in it, and then 8, he only had the one nice scene with Luke.
Yeah. Do you think that was just mostly circumstance because they just couldn't figure out a way to use them without it being seeming too kind of forced? No pun intended.
Yeah, because I mean, you introduced BB-8, which everybody loves, and then now in this one, you've got another new droid, Dio.
Yeah. Yeah, there is another droid in this new droid in this film. Yeah, is it kind of a thing where when they looked back, they might have went back. JJ, when he made Force Awakens, they might have gone back and looked at the old films, and they realized there were certain things that wouldn't work in the 2000, you know, teens that worked back in the 1970s. And one is that maybe they thought that R2 was just too slow, and they needed a speedier robot.
Even George changed that some in episode 3 when he all of a sudden gave R2-D2 like rocket thrusters so he could fly around.
Yeah. Yeah. They thought maybe he was just too much of a slow trash can with legs and that they needed something. And BB-8, you know, people want new things too. They want new toys.
Oh yeah, because that new little Dio droid this holiday season is probably going to be like BB-8 was a few years ago.
Yeah, and of course, while we talk, I've got my BB-8 sitting just right there in front of Jazz in the corner there. You can run that with an app on your phone.
Oh, damn.
And roll it around and move it around and stuff. It's a little smaller version of the BB-8 that charges up on a little docking station.
This was the Android I was looking for.
That's the Android.
Yeah. I have the R2 that does the same thing, but kind of like R2, mine's just been in sleep for forever. I don't remember the last time I messed with him.
Yeah, mine's been down for a little bit too. He's been taking a break. Hey, Johnny, we're going to have, of course, we have still, for better or worse, we still have several more days till December 19th. I mean, it's coming up quick, but we still have, you know, much time to talk about this, so we can. So we'll adjourn now, and till our next session, and still much to talk about.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with y'all
always. Perfect. Hey, Johnny, you have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, guys.
Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon. Excellent. Final thoughts as we wrap up our first reviewing the trailer of The Rise of Skywalker, probably not our last, I'm sure, before the film comes out.
Man, we're so close. Less than 2 months away. And in between now and then, The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's so easy to, and strangely, it's easy to forget that we're going to get another Star Wars property before this even hits us in December.
It's a good time to be a Star Wars nerd.
It's a great time to be a Star Wars nerd. So yeah, we're getting The Mandalorian, which, by the way, could be as good, if not better.
Oh yeah, I mean, they have more room, more time to tell greater stories. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm totally in.
Take my money, Disney.
Yeah, they've got it. We're yours.
Exactly.
You have it. I'm already ready to go. Yeah. So Mandalorian is coming out in November. So, which is my birthday month. So that's gonna be a nice little birthday present.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. John Favreau and George Lucas kind of back in the fold, which is very exciting. He's been a consultant working with JJ on Rise of Skywalker. And a lot of people believe that the big thing that George has been brought in for with Rise of Skywalker is they are barring some stuff that maybe he was originally planning for the ending and maybe having him there to kind of help them walk them through that a little bit. One of the things JJ gets criticized the most for is that he has trouble with endings.
Oh yeah.
And George, I think, really good with endings, you know, because look at this, even in the prequels, the thing he, you know, all the criticisms of the prequels, still a pretty good ending.
But Empire didn't have a good ending. Like, that was just a cliffhanger.
That was a cliffhanger. Return of the Jedi, though, pretty good ending.
That was a good ending.
He tied up the trilogy well.
But I think the award ceremony in New Hope really wasn't that great of an ending.
Well, yeah. So, maybe hit or miss. Yeah.
That's just my take.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chewbacca didn't think it was a very good ending. The New Hope left out of getting his medal. You want to talk about speciesisms?
Speciesist.
They were speciesist there back then. Didn't get his damn medal.
Show the Wookiee some love.
Yeah, show the Wookiee some love. By the way, Jon Favreau, kind of in a weird way, sort of a weird fascination with the Star Wars Christmas special. And I know we've kind of talked about that a little bit back and forth. And he is planning on putting some Easter eggs into The Mandalorian that pays homage to the Star Wars Christmas special.
So Christmas Easter eggs?
could be. But what he's basically doing is he is officially, as we've always suspected, making it official canon.
Hell yeah. Lumpy.
In fact, one of the things, I know Life Day is supposed to be mentioned in the show.
Oh yeah.
And there's going to be, I think, one of the weapons that appears in the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh yeah, like the double rifle thing.
Yeah, that appears in The Mandalorian. Another thing that I know, we can only hope we get some Lumpy in there somewhere.
Gotta have Lumpy.
Maybe he's a hitman. At this point in the timeline, maybe he's a hitman now. He's working with the bounty hunters.
Exactly.
All right. So, everyone, on this 110th episode, I want to thank Jazz One sitting across from me.
Good to be here.
And everyone, may the Force be with you.
Always.
Always.
Fun to pop. It's time for fun to pop. Don't make me say it again. Fun to pop. Fun to pop. Fun to pop. I will not say it. Okay, I lied. Thunderpop! 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 Oh, Thunderpop!
Come on! See you later! Beat it! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks!
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.